When you think of a playground, you might think of slides, monkey bars, teeter-totters, swings, all on a soft surface in case of falls. But if you're in Britain, you may think of fires, knives, saws, tools, and mud pits. Under adult supervision, that is. The New York Times recently reported on a movement there to inject more risk into playgrounds in the name of building resilience and grit. In fact, a sign at one London playground points out that risks have been intentionally provided.
A 2012 study in the journal Pediatrics found that U.S. parents often ask daycare staff to restrict their kids' physical activity for fear of injury. And some children say that they're bored with current playground options.
Barbara King is an anthropology professor emerita at the College of William and Mary. She recently wrote a piece titled, Is It Time to Bring Back Risk into Our Children's Playgrounds? On NPR's 13.7 Cosmos and Culture blog. Barbara, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, Judith. Thank you. It's good to be with you.
So you wrote that incorporating a little risk into children's play would be good for kids. How so?
Yes, the idea is controlled or limited risk, of course. And we think, people who are considering this issue, that it's helpful for kids, young kids, we're talking about elementary school children, not to necessarily be coddled during playtime, but to encounter under adult supervision some things that might give them pause, give them some challenge, give them a chance to build up some skills that they otherwise wouldn't if they're in a highly controlled environment. So the idea is just that it's a way to learn and to explore and to get ready for what's coming in the future.
And how much are today's playgrounds really designed not to allow for risk or to eliminate risk?
When I was researching for this piece that I wrote for NPR, it seemed that there was a kind of cultural divide, if you will, so that there are many playgrounds, not only in Britain, as you mentioned in your introduction, but throughout Europe, that have really bought into this idea of, for example, giving fairly high climbing structures, doing activities with the kids, controlled activities with knives, having campfires. You just don't see that on most American playgrounds or in most American schools at recess time. I was driving by the elementary school near my house here in Virginia earlier today and just looking at, plastic slide, plastic swings, all very low to the ground, pretty sterile. So there are certainly exceptions to this with some communities in the United States, but it seems as if this really hasn't caught on here quite so much as it has in Europe and in Britain.
So knives and fire aside, how long have we been moving away from having some risk in U.S. playgrounds? Because I have to say I'm in my early 50s, and we were playing on concrete. And we had, I remember getting my finger pinched in the metal swings, and yeah, it hurt, but, I learned not to stick my finger there the next time. At what point did we really start moving towards this, eliminate risk at any cost mentality?
Yeah, I can remember incidents in my own childhood that certainly resonate with what you've just said. But by the time my daughter was born in the early 1990s, that seems to have changed. I would say probably 80s, 90s. When I had this piece that I wrote posted on social media, it's very interesting that a lot of parents were on board, but a lot of people said that we need to frame this issue in terms of changing medical care and medical costs. In other words, that just as we've had this push towards, fewer risks for our kids, we've also had skyrocketing medical costs, and that a lot of people see that the two fit together. In other words, they're very reluctant to have their kids exposed to potential injury when it costs an arm and a leg to take them to urgent care or the emergency room. So I thought that that was interesting, and it gave me a different perspective on the question.
Well, and is there also the flip side of that, of the liability issue? Because the U.S. is a much more litigious society when it comes to things like injury and illness and assigning fault or blame. So is that also maybe contributing to this, is that whoever owns that playground doesn't want to be in a liability situation?
Yeah, I imagine that's true. So when I looked at what's happening in playgrounds overseas, it seemed as if they're very much trying to get community buy-in, for example, putting up signs, consulting with parents, making sure that parents understand the idea is not simply to let kids loose, but to have teachers and parent volunteers and all of this around. So I think I would expect that the response to this might, you know, vary regionally in the United States, but it's also true that a lot of these playgrounds are government subsidized, for example, in Norway and Sweden and Germany and that kind of thing. So I think it takes time and that we would need to really have a community movement in advance of just sort of springing this on people.
We're talking with Barbara King about her recent article titled, Is It Time to Bring Risk Back into Our Kids' Playgrounds? And Barbara, we've mentioned some of the elements, but can you describe some of these playgrounds in the UK or the rest of Europe or other places that are introducing this managed risk? What would we see if we went to one?
Yeah, well, two different things I think are worth mentioning here. When Ellen Barry wrote this article originally that caught my interest for the New York Times, she was describing that there are, for example, a 20-foot climbing platform at playgrounds in Britain that really get the kids up and moving and away from the ground, and they can swing quite a bit and be high up. Also, it even includes such things as the vegetation included on the playground. Instead of making sure that everything is sort of blunt and not sharp and rounded plastic edges of human-made equipment, they include some spiky bushes and things that the kids have to really watch out for. And you mentioned already the campfires was a pretty big thing. But in addition to the playground, something that I found interesting that seems to me related is the concept of the forest kindergarten that is big in Germany and Sweden and Norway, where kids don't just go for recess and encounter challenges and risk, but can be taken for entire days and weeks out into a park, or in some cases for the day, driven out into wilderness with their teachers, spending the whole day outside. And as it is in Wisconsin, of course, in some months it's quite cold in some of these countries. And the kids just stay out all day. They take nature walks. They, again, do activities with tools, build fires, look for animals. And this is the kind of thing that is considered part of education. So there are two levels. One is a playground where you go out for a little while and come back. And the other is even a bigger buy-in of having environmental learning in a very structured way in kindergartens.
When I was reading about having things like knives and saws and other tools, and like you were saying, really experiential learning, it reminds me of the concepts behind Montessori.
Yes, I know. It's true. I will never forget when my daughter first went to Montessori preschool here in our small community in Virginia, and it was a half day. We picked her up at the end of the half day, and she ran towards us and said, "We cut with scissors. We did things with tools." She didn't use the word tools, but she used another word, so I knew what she meant. And it was very exciting. So there is some of this, of course, replicated in certain types of American educational classrooms. And there are certainly some playgrounds here in the States where there's more risk involved. It is a variable thing. So I'm kind of talking in terms of generalizations. You know, as an anthropologist, I was interested not only in the cross-cultural perspective, how things differ in different countries, but also thinking in an evolutionary perspective. And what I did when I wrote this piece is I talked to a behavioral biologist at Cal State University Fullerton. Her name is Nia Nguyen, who studies monkeys in the wild. And she really made the interesting point that we, of course, are primates, and that we really have a long evolutionary history of going out there and as youngsters experiencing risk, that we didn't always have this environment of having parents watching out for everything. And so as an anthropologist, again, I find that both perspectives, the cross-cultural and the evolutionary, kind of pushing us in the same direction here.
Barbara King is an anthropology professor emerita at the College of William and Mary and a contributor to the NPR blog 13.7, Cosmos and Culture. Her recent entry was titled, Is It Time to Bring Risk Back into Our Kids' Playgrounds?
And you can let us know what you think at 800-642-1234. Do playgrounds need to be less safe and more risky? Are we coddling, protecting, and worrying too much about our kids' safety? What do you think of these British playgrounds with fires, knives, and tools? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. We're continuing our conversation on whether the U.S. should take a page from Britain's playbook and stop making children's playgrounds so safe. We're talking with Barbara King, an anthropology professor emerita at the College of William and Mary. Her recent piece for NPR was titled, Is It Time to Bring Risk Back into Our Kids' Playgrounds?
And Barbara, let's go right to the phones. And Lisa in Janesville is up first. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, I was just calling because, well, we lived in England. I worked at a preschool. And the playground was, there was a grassy area for them to get out and run and play on, but it was hard cement. There were pallets they could climb on. It was assumed the children would learn to assess the risk factor. They would learn to balance themselves. They did go to forest school where we made fires. They climbed trees. They did try to emulate the forest school in Germany where children would hike a mile every day to get to their school, and that was their school during the day, using saws and whatnot. Inside the school, the children also put their own bread in the toaster, and they worked the toaster, and these were 3- and 4-year-olds.
Wow.
And I was impressed at their abilities.
And Lisa, when you started working there, was it a surprise to you what the kids were exposed to?
Yeah, it caught me off guard, you know, and I had to relate to, okay, there aren't the lawsuits either in the UK that there are here. So they weren't worried about the parents suing them. Of course, there was, you know, the health system, so that was taken into account. But it caught me off guard, and it took me a little while to adjust to that way of thinking and letting these kids have this free reign. But I thought it was a wonderful experience.
Great. Well, thanks for sharing that experience with us, Lisa. And let's go right back to the phones, and Dennis in Two Rivers is up next. Hi, Dennis.
Hi. I don't want to be a worry wart, but just I can imagine there's going to be a time when a child will get hurt. He or she will be crying and screaming, which will distract another child, and that child will end up getting hurt. So, I mean, since there's going to be fewer adults than there are children, are the adults supposed to do triage, figure, okay, well, we have more than one hurt child. Okay, who do we treat first? And ambulances are only going to be able to haul one person at a time.
All right, Dennis, thanks for that counterbalance. And Barbara, what would you anticipate we would need if we wanted to put something like this into practice?
Well, first of all, I think Lisa made a really good point because she brought in this fact of the kids themselves being active, not just in terms of play, but in terms of risk assessment themselves. So that is going to become part of the equation, that the kids get better over time, which is, of course, the whole point, at assessing what's safe to do and what's not. And, of course, what Dennis is worried about is what happens when they make mistakes,
right?
Because the learning process is always going to involve mistakes. But this also goes back to something that Chris said before the break, which is, should we in the United States make playgrounds less safe? And I think that the playground designers in Britain and in Europe might take issue with that phrase, less safe. I think what they're talking about is less sterile. And I'm not suggesting that there would never be an injury, but, you know, the idea of, you know, needing multiple ambulances, I think, is probably not part of the picture, that there's always the risk of some kind of injury when we have children playing vigorously. But that the key would certainly be preparing these children. You know, as Lisa described, this was part of normal cultural patterns where she was teaching at this preschool. And so everybody is doing this together. There's a cultural understanding that this is not something, you know, highly unusual. We are going to approach this in a calm manner. And, yeah, the kids are going to be vigorous, but still they're going to have this kind of training with the whole community in this together. So I really think that the key is just having people who are aware and who are willing to be very vigilant with the kids.
And we have time for maybe one more quick call. Let's go to Alice in Sheboygan. Hi, Alice.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I grew up in a small town, Sparta, Wisconsin, on the west side of the state. My dad had a junkyard and an auto salvage yard, lived on a creek by a railroad trestle, and we had the best time. But also, just to say, the multi-age, you know, there were brothers and sisters that were 16, 15. Everybody was out. That was wonderful.
Mm.
And I'm bothered where I live that I don't see kids out playing. As we grew up, everybody was out. So you felt that safety. But I never broke anything, fell a lot of times, but it was a great way to grow up on the creek, in the woods. Super.
Thank you so much for that call, Alice. And so, Barbara, you know, what do you think it would take for Americans and American institutions to be comfortable with introducing these opportunities for kids to learn how to assess and deal with risk?
Well, that's a big question. I would really have to think about that. I think the combination of the worries about the medical care and the more sort of litigious culture are very big questions. So what would seem to me more sensible, rather than sort of thinking on a whole United States level, is just to work with certain communities that have shown interest in this by, for example, taking kindergartners out onto forest trails, maybe through Montessori. Or there was an example that I wrote about in my piece of a teacher in Queechy, Vermont, who instituted this under her own initiative in a school in Vermont, and try to work from a local sort of small-scale model and then try to scale up when people begin to see in surrounding communities that it's working well. So I would tend to go for, you know, local parent groups and school boards sort of talking about this and scaling up from there.
And is this a topic that you are going to be continuing to look at and maybe kind of figuring out what ways that could be introduced?
Actually, it isn't. You know, I have written about a column a week for NPR for 6 years, and I just try to take up interesting questions. My work is actually with animal cognition and emotion, so I decided to think of the kids on the playgrounds as little primates like the ones I studied in Kenya and go from there, but it is not a topic that I'll be pursuing, no.
Well, Barbara, thanks for joining us. Really interesting topic.
Thank you very much.
Barbara King is an anthropology professor emerita at the College of William and Mary and a contributor to the NPR blog 13.7, Cosmos and Culture. Her recent entry there was titled, Is It Time to Bring Back Risk to Our Children's Playgrounds? And you can keep the conversation going by tweeting us at Central Time WPR. If you're a parent, would you support this? Why or why not?